At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer from Elo, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eaves Pierce, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And we've got another banger of a podcast today, as we've got the Mountain West preview edition of this podcast. We're going to be getting to the two MACs a little bit later on, the MAAC, the Metro Atlantic. I plan to have that up within the next 48 hours as well, so that is on tap. Going to be taking a look at perhaps doing the Missouri Valley Conference sometime either this week or next week as well. The Mid-American Conference, that is coming your way. But this is always one of my favorite conferences. Love being able to preview the Mountain West. And we've got one of my favorite guests to be able to preview this one, as we've got Sean Paul. He does a great job over there at the Field of 68 as a host and analyst for them. And then on top of that, does amazing work with the Mountain West Wire as well. You're going to be taking a look at all 12 of these teams, having some fun diving into that. And then in the final segment, I am going to be giving you guys my projector or finish for the Mountain West, as I always do on these conference previews. In the first segment, going to be taking a look at all the trends that we've got with these teams, style of play, what have you, including how these teams wind up doing against the spread, if we wind up seeing anything demonstrative in terms of underrate as well. So we've got you guys covered on those fronts. And anyone that is worried that we're not going to be recapping the news and notes of college basketball on Monday, have no fear. We're going to be polishing up anything that I wind up missing on Monday, on Tuesday. So that squares that away. And if you ever have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to further this in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. The formalities are done. Let's get down to business. Let's take a look at the Mountain West. And in the Mountain West, it was a very much a defense-oriented conference, and you did not wind up seeing a lot of teams go at a breakneck pace. We will get into the tempos in a minute, but first things first, you had two teams in the top 21 in all of college basketball in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, and as a matter of fact, number one in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, San Diego State. They were absolutely amazing on this front. Now, needed a little bit more scoring around Matt Bradley in order to be able to make a run in the NCAA tournament. We're going to be hitting upon it in the second segment. They did wind up bringing in some reinforcements, but certainly they were stout on defense. And then you wind up seeing Boise State wind up ranking 21st in the country in terms of the amount of points on a per-possession basis that they wound up allowing. And then it was very interesting because you wound up having those two teams absolute stalwarts of college basketball in terms of being able to lock down on defense. And then you had a couple teams which, well, defense was a little bit more optional. And many of these teams, they wound up playing very slow, like San Jose State, for instance. Out of your 358 D1 teams, 338th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. And I'll still say this, even though I wound up rattling off its stat, Tim Miles has things trending in the right direction for this program. But you also had New Mexico State. They were right in the neighborhood, about 280th or so in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. As a matter of fact, 282nd as well. Not so terrific there. And then one of the biggest oddities in college basketball, being able to take a look at them, Air Force. They literally, out of 358 D1 teams, were 358th in terms of total rebounds per game. They were 253rd in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. And what I found to be so intriguing about the Mountain West as well is that a lot of teams wind up doing their damage from inside the arc. You do have a team in New Mexico that is looking to push things outside a little bit more that should be able to take a little bit of hold towards the 2022-23 season for them, but you really didn't have too many great three-point shooting teams that wound up being in this conference. Utah State is a team that I find to be very intriguing. San Diego State, they did wind up finishing 72nd in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Colorado State, they were able to finish 68th as well, but certainly teams that weren't necessarily going out there and bombing it. And I mentioned it with the Mountain West, you did wind up seeing a lot of teams playing slow. The one team that was sort of zagging while everyone else was zigging, that would be New Mexico. They wound up playing at one of the faster tempos in all of college basketball, as you wound up having Richard Pitino wind up coming in there as their coach. And amongst the 358 D1 teams, New Mexico last season wound up ranking 46th in terms of possessions per game. But a lot of these teams that they wound up making the NCAA tournament, they really slowed things down. Colorado State, 318th in terms of possessions per game in all of college basketball. Boise State was darn near towards the bottom and as far as to the bottom as you could get, as they were 333rd. San Diego State, they never really wind up playing fast, and they were 297th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Utah State was a little bit of a tweener team. They were more on 220th in terms of their possessions per game, but San Jose State, first year under Tim Miles, they were 316th in the country in terms of possessions per game. UNLV is looking to hang their hat on defense. They were 290th in the country in terms of possessions per game. So you wind up seeing a lot of teams going out there and playing very, very slowly. And you wind up seeing a mix of teams that they were very, very good on defense. And then you wind up seeing some teams that, well, they wound up coming up a little bit snake eyes on defense. And one of those teams that wound up coming up snake eyes on defense, that'd be our good friend Nevada, after they were a projected top three team out there in the Mountain West. And goes to show how good the Mountain West was last season, and that they were projected to be in the top three. They were a big, giant stink burger as they wound up going against the spread with one of the worst records they were able to find in all of college basketball. And despite that, they were able to get four teams into the NCAA tournament. But we reference Nevada, 12-18 against the spread. They had a 40% clip. That was by far the worst out there in this conference. No other team was below 45.2%. UNLV, 14-17 against the spread. You could tell that it was a little bit of rough going towards the beginning part of the season. And as the season wound up going on, they were able to build a little bit more momentum. I will get into that a little bit later, but they failed to cover each out of their first four games. And for that matter, they went 1-7 against the spread to begin the season before they wound up becoming a little bit of a freight train towards the back half of the season. They wound up covering, at one point, I believe it was 9 out of 12 going into the Mountain West tournament. So they were able to do a good job towards the back half of the season of being able to rectify things. New Mexico was actually your best against the spread team, a team that there was little expectation for. 17-11-2 against the spread. They really shook things up by looking to go fast and being able to play some offense. And you did wind up seeing quite a few teams hitting between, we're going to call it 53 and 56% of their games against the spread. Fresno State, 19-15-1 against the spread. Air Force, 16-13. Wyoming, 17-4-2 against the spread. San Diego State and Utah State, 17-5, 75-1 against the spread. And Boise State, 18-16 against the spread. And these teams really did do a solid job out of conference. Now, a lot of people are going to hold it at the feet of the Mountain West that they wind up having a stink burger of a NCAA tournament, and boy, oh boy, did they wind up stinking it up in the NCAA tournament. But with that said, San Diego State, 5-7 against the spread out of conference. Nevada and UNLV, they went 4-6 and 4-8, respectively, against the spread out of conference. Every other team wound up covering at least 53.9% of their games out of conference, including Fresno State. They wind up winning the Basketball Classic, 11-5 against the spread. New Mexico, 7-4-1 against the spread. Utah State, 8-5 against the spread. Colorado State, 6-4 against the spread. Wyoming, 7-5-1 against the spread. Boise State, 7-6 against the spread. And San Jose State, 8-3 against the spread, catching a lot of big numbers. But you know what? This was a conference that, against the spread, out of conference, they were one of the best conferences out there in all of college basketball. I referenced it a little bit earlier, the fact that and a lot of teams playing quite slow out there in the Mountain West. Bookmakers, they certainly did shade down their totals. If you want to betting the Mountain West on a night-in and night-out basis, you notice that. But they didn't shade them down far enough, because you wind up having one team play more than 50% of their games to the over. Utah State, with 17 overs and 16 unders. So if you still wind up blindly betting the over in every one of Utah State's games at minus 110 juice because you need right around 52.38% of bets to go your way to break even, you still didn't wind up breaking even. Air Force, they were the most demonstrative under team in this conference, rightfully so. One of the slowest teams in all of college basketball. Couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Dead last in terms of rebounds on a per game basis. 10 overs and 19 unders. Colorado State, they were a surprising under team as well. They wanted getting the reputation of being a team that was able to put up some points because of everything that we wanted seeing with David Roddy and company. But other 30 games, 19 games, wound up going under the total. No shocker that San Diego State was an under team. They held their head on defense, and you know what? They wound up coming through. 13 overs to 19 unders. With New Mexico, it was really a case of which the out-of-conference play wound up hurting them with regards to the under as they wound up having 16 unders to 14 overs. You wound up having that same clip for Nevada as well. And we did wind up noticing it with regards to the teams that were the most up-tempo in conference play, that they wound up actually playing a lot of unders just because you wind up going up against a team like a San Diego State, like a UNLV. It's like going to the dentist. They wound up making life very miserable as a result. New Mexico, Colorado State, these were your top two teams in terms of the under in conference play. New Mexico State, out of their 18 conference games, 12 of them wind up going under. Colorado State, out of your 20 games in total against the Mountain West, 14 of those wind up going under the total. Nevada, they wound up breaking even. 10 overs and unders in conference. And the one team that wound up playing more overs and unders in conference play, that'd be Boise State. 13 overs, 8 unders. You had San Jose State wind up going with 10 overs and 9 unders as well. But Boise State's, a lot of their overs wound up actually going over in overtime. I know that they had a minimum 2 games that wound up going over in overtime. So that was explaining that little bit of an anomaly. But you certainly wound up seeing a lot of teams out there in the Mountain West play slow. A lot of teams that they love to be able to play defense. But we have seen a little bit of turnover, especially with some of these big guys like a Justin Bean, like an Orlando Robinson, David Roddy. Now the fold for the Colorado State Rams. So we've got a lot of intrigue in this conference. Joining me to be able to break it down next, we do have our good friend Sean Paul. Does a great job over there at the Mountain West Wire and the Field of 68. So he is going to be joining me to break down all these rosters on the Mountain West Conference Preview Edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulge indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Lisa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
And we're back to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Ames Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. This is a Mountain West preview edition, so how about if we bring on a man that is out here on the West Coast, much like myself, more specifically in the state of Nevada. Sean Paul does a great job as a host and an analyst over there at the Field of 68, doing a great job of taking a look at all things mid-major college basketball, and he's also a writer over there at the Mountain West Wire. And you're able to follow Sean on Twitter at SeanPaulCBB. Sean spelled S-E-A-N. Always want to make that distinction because Sean can be spelled a few different ways. And Sean, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, as always, Greg, I'm happy to join.
Always glad to have you aboard. And Sean, you, much like myself, love mid-major college basketball in the Mountain West. Whether or not that could be considered, and I air quotes here, a mid-major, that is always a discussion that is up for debate. But what I don't think is up for debate is the fact that we've got multiple teams that are certainly going to be very solid. And I do think that you're going to be looking at a multi-bid league once again this season. But how about if we start with the team that actually wound up winning the conference last year in Boise State? Now, they do wind up losing a couple pieces from last year as Abu Kihab. He is now out of the fold. You wind up having Emmanuel Acott wind up going for Memphis. But Tyson Dagenhart was one of the more surprising freshmen in all of college basketball. 10 points, 4 boards per game was a little bit deceiving in terms of his final numbers because this guy was tremendous down the stretch. Marcus Shaver, bucket getter. He is back from a team that was one of the best on defense in all of college basketball. Now, the missing pieces, I just can't think that with those, they wind up getting back to 27 wins this season, but certainly a team I think is going to be able to wreck still quite a bit of shop out there in the Mountain West.
Yeah, they do return Dagenhart and Shaver. Like you said, Shaver was a very important piece of what they did, but Abu Kijab was just so important to everything defensively and offensively. Can hit a mid-range shot, average 15 a game. Emmanuel Acott ran the point guard most of the time at 6'8", very good on-ball defender too, had a lot of size, one of the bigger point guards in college basketball. But they're really going to miss Mladen Armouche, who's able to get 8 rebounds per game. He didn't score much, but they didn't need him to. He could have 2 points per game. He averaged close to 8, but if he had 2 points in a game and hauled in 14 rebounds, and he's doing his job, that's what he was there to do. And they didn't really replace him. You can look at Lucas Milner as a guy that maybe steps in a little bit. They added Muhammad Sila from Detroit Mercy, who barely got on the court there. He wasn't great at the JUCO level either. They had a freshman who was once a highly touted recruit, but who knows what he's going to bring to the table. So with the pieces they lose, I think they do lose a lot of important pieces. Kijab's probably the most important, but I would say don't underestimate the loss of Mladen Armouche because they just didn't add anybody to replace what he can do.
I mean, this guy was just really good at being able to hit the glass. Actually began his career out there in the SoCon as well. So I do agree with you there, especially in a conference that it really does embrace defense. And we're talking about losses with Boise State. Colorado State, a team that was able to make the NCAA tournament, and they were a top 25 team last season. They wind up suffering, in my opinion, the biggest loss in this entire conference. And quite frankly, out of guys that might have been the most impactful in all of college basketball in terms of the draft decisions, David Roddy leaving, I think, winds up putting Colorado State the most behind the eight ball just because of everything they did. 19 points, 7.5 boards, 3 assists, was able to shoot threes. Now, the good news is that they still have one of the best point guards in all of college basketball. That'd be Isaiah Stevens, a guy that's able to shoot it very well himself, a guy that does a good job of being able to dish out the ball. So they should be in relatively good hands at the point guard spot. But losing David Roddy and what they're going to be able to do with that, I think, is a big question mark, as they do wind up bringing in Josiah Strong to be able to try to replace him a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, Colorado State's definitely going to have to play a little bit more through the guards this season. You're going to look at Isaiah Stevens to shoulder more of a scoring load. Josiah Strong can shoot the ball. John Tanjay had that blow-up performance against San Diego State a couple of years ago, and he's still a very solid player, but there is no David Roddy on the roster. If you're looking at the front court, Patrick Cartier coming in from the D2 level, you have James Moores, who's never been great. He's more of a rebounder and can play a little bit of defense, but they're going to need to score the ball. They're going to need to defend, and they're going to need to have Isaiah Stevens become more of a score first guard than a facilitate first guard if they're going to be able to return to the NCAA tournament.
No question about it. He's joining me on the podcast. We do have Sean Paul, does a great job as a writer over there on Mountain West Wire, and on top of that, does a great job at the Field of 68, a team that is certainly going to be running it back. That would be Wyoming. Graham Ike, Hunter Maldonado, these guys are back, and with Ike, 19.5 points, 9.5 boards for contest. I think that it's a very fair debate as to whether or not he is going to be one of the most dominant big men in mid-major slash just all of college basketball. I mean, forget the mid-major moniker. This guy is going to be terrific. Hunter Maldonado trying to maybe get the ball out of his hands a little bit. I think it's going to be beneficial. We did wind up seeing his turnover woes in that game against Indiana. But with that said, what is really big for this team is that they wind up bringing in three guys from the Pac-12, and not just three guys from the Pac-12. Three guys from USC along UCLA as Jake Kamen is going to be coming in from UCLA. And then on top of that, you're going to be able to bring in Max. I always get this last name incorrect, but Okapolo, he's someone that is a 6'8" combo player, a former top 100 recruiter who's able to give the team 7.5 points per contest last season. Ethan Anderson should be able to take a little bit of the workload off of Hunter Maldonado out there in the backcourt with Wyoming. I love what Jeff Linder has been able to build up. They do wind up losing a few ancillary pieces from last season, but with Wyoming, I think they got exactly what they needed to continue to be not just strong out there in the Mountain West, but perhaps take a little bit of a step forward.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to see with Hunter Maldonado, and that's him just shooting the ball more. Make it or miss it. I mean, he shot 84 threes last year at a 25% clip. He's never been a good shooter, but they were leaving him open. He needs to be able to shoot that shot and make it, and he's going to be really tough to stop because he got a little bit predictable at times, dribbling the ball, backing down smaller guards. That got a little predictable, especially when Graham Ike started struggling and when guys like Xavier Ducell struggled and Drake Jeffrey struggled at times and Brandon Wenzel struggled at times. When he was backing guys down and he was able to pass it to shooters and they just weren't able to make it, and then he would go try to score, that became a little bit predictable at times. They need to spice things up a little bit. That's where Ethan Anderson could come in. Jake Kamen, he's going to probably try to play that Drake Jeffries role a little bit, run him off screens, set plays for him to get open threes. But Graham Ike struggled a ton down the stretch. He struggled against Indiana. He struggled through the final month and a half of the season. They're going to need him to look like first half Graham Ike if Wyoming is a top 35 caliber team. I don't think they're quite as good as another team we're going to talk about here in this mix, but I think they are NCAA tournament caliber.
How about if we get to the team that I think that you're talking about right now, and that'd be San Diego State. Throughout much of the year last year, the number one team in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. The main woe that this team had, and I think that you would agree with me with this, they just had nobody other than Matt Bradley that was able to take over the offense and get you a bucket when you needed to. Now they bring in Darian Trammell, someone who is a very good scorer out there on the West Coast at Seattle in the WAC. And then they bring in Micah Parrish as well, a little bit of a 6'5" combo player, guy that's able to generate a few steals, comes in from Oakland with San Diego State. I do feel like
losing someone like a Chad Baker Mazar is going to hurt this team a little bit. But I think what was absolutely critical for them is that they do wind up bringing in the defensive player of the year in Nathan Mensah back for another campaign, a guy that's able to give you 7.7 boards. Doesn't sound like a ton, but this guy is dominant on defense. And now adding just a little bit more in terms of offensive options for San Diego State. I think that this team, when it's all said and done, they're going to be a top 25 team, and I like them to be able to win this conference.
Yeah, I think I'll go as far to say I think they're a top 15 caliber team. I mean, this is a legitimately really good team, and they were really good last year, too. They finished 25th in KenPom. They should have beat Creighton, but they blew that game, mostly because they couldn't score the basketball. Their offense was a disaster last year, to put it lightly. Besides, if they didn't have Matt Bradley, they're probably one of the worst offensive teams in college basketball. He's an awesome player. He shot 40% from three, but I feel like you could have put five guys on Matt Bradley, and you could have forced everybody else to score the ball, and they still might have struggled to score the basketball at times. That's just what it looked like, because Bradley was always getting double-teamed. There's always guys in his face. Adam Seiko might have been the second most consistent offensive player, but adding a guy like Tramiel who can play in the pick and roll game, he can shoot the ball really well, he can score. I think he had a 40-point game last year for Seattle. He was a big reason why they were really good last year in the WAC. He's going to be able to step in. No, he's not Malachi Flynn, but he gives you a really reliable option next to Matt Bradley. And of course, they're going to be amazing defensively, because that's what Brian Dutcher does. He makes great defenses. Nathan Mensah is one of the best defenders in college basketball. San Diego State is legit, and I'm not going to say they're going to be like a two seed like they were a couple of years ago, but are they a top four seed, a top five seed in the NCAA tournament, in my eyes? Absolutely.
Yeah, I do think that San Diego State due in for a very, very big year as joining me on the podcast. We do have Sean Paul does a great job over there at the Field of 68, and on top of that, the Mountain West Wire. And we've taken a look at the best teams that we wound up seeing in the Mountain West from last season. But I take a look at this bunch, and if there's a team that was outside the top four last year that could be able to rise up and be able to take one of those spots, I take a look at UNLV, and I'm just so impressed by what they were able to do in the transfer portal this offseason. They wind up bringing in a lot of guys. They're going to be able to put up points in this conference. And Elijah Harkless, I take a look at him coming in from Oklahoma, a guy that he was able to score right around 9 to 10 points per contest, someone that's able to be a versatile player. I think that that is going to be absolutely massive for this team. They bring in Isaiah Cottrell. He is 6'10". He's going to be a force in this conference. Elijah Parquet was able to put up buckets at Colorado. Now him going down a level, that's big. Jackie Johnson III, he was solid as a freshman at Duquesne. Shane Noel didn't do a lot at Arizona, but once again, a guy that comes in from Arizona. And Luis Rodriguez, he was a Swiss Army knife guy at Ole Miss. Didn't necessarily do one thing great, but at 6'6", he's able to defend. He's able to give you rebounds. He's able to give you a bucket when needed. With UNLV, I love what they did in the transfer portal. They retain a lot of guys from last season as well. This is a team that I think could make a big rise in this conference.
Yeah, I've changed my thoughts on UNLV a couple times this offseason. I figured Bryce Hamilton was gone. I didn't expect him to ever come back, but I did expect Donovan Williams to come back, who ended up going undrafted. I think if he came back, I would feel differently about this team, but I don't love the scoring options on paper. Maybe if Shane Noel becomes that guy, maybe if Justin Webster becomes that guy a little bit, maybe if Jackie Johnson's able to be a little more efficient, and he can be, maybe Elijah Harkless becomes a little more consistent and going down a little bit of levels there. But I love the defensive capabilities of this team. You have Elijah Parquet, who was a Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year only 2 years ago, Luis Rodriguez, who can defend just about anybody on the floor, and Elijah Harkless, who is one of the best on-ball defenders in the Pac-12. You have Isaiah Cottrell, who looked to be promising, then he had an injury, and he just didn't seem to refine his form the last couple of years, but maybe going down a level, that'll help him. David Muwaka, Victor Iwaka, those are both guys that can defend down low. You have a lot of defensive options. I think this could be a top 15, top 20 defensive team in America, but I'm not going to fully buy in until I see if you could have two or three consistent double-digit scorers that can put the ball in the basket consistently for this UNLV team.
And what I think is going to be interesting as well in this conference, can Utah State in season number two of their regime be able to take off, as it is going to be year number two for Ryan Odom? And he did wind up bringing a few guys with him from UMBC and Brandon Horvath, along with RJ Attell Rock. Horvath, I believe, is gone, but you do have Rock Attell, who is going to be back in the fold. And then you got Steven Ashworth, who he closed the season in the final 14 games, averaging a little bit over 10 points per contest, shot 40% from three, showed some good flashes on the stretch. was able to give the team 3.5 assists per game. And you still have Ryland Jones, who wanted coming in from Utah, was a little bit of a rocky season from last season. Never is going to be a guy that's going to go out there and just give you a whole bunch of buckets, but it's able to be a little bit of a pass-first guy. Now, they wind up losing Justin Bean, and Justin Bean was, in my opinion, one of the best players in all of college basketball last year at any level, but they've got the funk. Taylor Funk, a guy that comes in from St. Joe's, 6'8" combo player that's able to shoot three, so that's going to be help them out. Isaac Johnson, he comes in after he was a 4-star recruit a few seasons ago over there at Oregon. Utah State, I think that they did need a year under their belt under Coach Odom. I do think that this is a team that losing Bean, once again, it's going to be massive, but I do think that Utah State has the pieces to be a top half of the league sort of team.
I do agree, and I think you look at what UMBC did under Ryan Odom a little bit. They had some pretty good big men. He carried that over last year with Justin Bean and bring Brandon Horvath over. I think Taylor Funk is a bit of a better version of Brandon Horvath. He was really good for St. Joe's, even though the team wasn't very good. I think he could be a 14-15 point per game guy for Utah State. But the real X factor here is Sean Bairstow for me, the brother of former New Mexico star Cam Bairstow. He averaged 9.5 points per game, shot 51% from the field. He's a perimeter player, but he just isn't much of a shooter. He did shoot the ball a little bit, but only at a 12% clip. He went 6 for 48. That's not very good. You're going to have to shoot a lot better than that. And if he's able to shoot the ball consistently, he's going to be really tough to stop because he's really good at driving, but he has to be able to hit a perimeter jumper every now and then if defenses are going to respect. They're going to sell out on the drive, and he needs to be able to make a couple threes every now and then.
I do think that that outside shooting is going to be very important for this team, and what's going to be important for Fresno State is being able to find something down low, because I talk about how big of a loss David Roddy is for Colorado State. This is a big loss for Fresno State. Orlando Robinson, a guy that was able to average 19.5 points, 8.5 boards, 3 assists as a 7-footer, and was still able to shoot 35% from 3. There's just no replacing that in this conference. Now, if they're able to get Jamerrill Baker out there healthy, that is going to be massive for this team. Jamerrill Baker began his career over there at Kentucky. I mean, he's a well-traveled guy. If they're able to get him out there, that is going to be very, very big for them. But that's a question mark that I don't know if anyone winds up having the answer to. But they do wind up bringing back someone like a Jordan Campbell, who's able to put up 7 points per contest, struggled from three, but someone that I think has a little bit of an upside for this team as well. But I do feel like with Fresno State, do they have pieces there? Yes, but the loss of Orlando Robinson is absolutely massive. And a lot of the backcourt, they've got upside, but they've got question marks.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Isaiah Moore coming in from Southern Miss. He started his career at College of Charleston, spent a year in JUCO, I believe, and then spent a year at St. John's. And now he's at Fresno State. So he's continuing his tour around college sports. Let's see how that goes for him here at Fresno State. I think he should be a pretty solid piece. But again, he's well-traveled. He's been solid. He had 9.2 points per game and 5 rebounds at St. John's. That's the Big East level. So I think he should be pretty good. Jordan Brinson coming in from Salt Lake Community College. They were the number one ranked JUCO team almost all of last season. Eduardo Andre coming in from Nebraska. But I think you're right. Jamerrill Baker needs to be healthy, and he needs to show the potential that we've always seen when he is healthy. He was solid at Kentucky when healthy. He looked good at Arizona when healthy. He just hasn't really been healthy in 2 years, and that has really halted his potential, halted his development, I feel like. But let's see if he's healthy, if he's able to take that next step and become a really consistent scorer at the mid-major / high-major level in the Mountain West. I'm not sure how I feel about this Fresno State team, because Orlando Robinson did literally everything for them, and he's not even the only piece they lose. They lose Deion Stroud. They lose a couple of other pieces. I'm just not in on this team this year.
I can't blame you there. When you wind up losing a guy like Orlando Robinson, it certainly does wind up making it tough. And you were speaking of a little bit of a lack of development. Under Steve Alford, we've seen a lack of development from Nevada. Many people coming into last year thought that Nevada was going to be a dark horse to be a top three team in the conference. And it did not wind up panning out for them. And now they have to replace Grant Shurfield. They have to replace Desmond Cambridge. They have to replace Warren Washington. And it's not a great state of affairs. They do wind up bringing in Jared Lucas, who was able to put up a double-figure amount of points per game at the Pac-12 level last year. But unfortunately, he comes in from Oregon State, who wound up winning 3 games last season as well. That's not great. The A.J. Brama sort of approach for them, that did not wind up panning out, as he wound up leaving early on in the season last year for them as well. Hunter McIntosh, he comes in from Elon. He might be able to give the team a little bit of scoring, but when you're relying upon someone like a Hunter McIntosh to be able to compete out there in the Mountain West, I think that it's a recipe for a disaster. I see another losing season for the team out there in the Mountain West. I certainly think that they're going to avoid the cellar, but I just don't think that Jared Lucas is enough to replace all that they're losing in guys like Sherfield and company.
There's just no reason that this team should have won 13 games last season, and I don't know if that goes down to chemistry. I know they definitely didn't defend very well. They weren't as tough as they should have been, but I think chemistry could have been an issue, and it seemed inevitable, even though all of those guys, their top three guys, all had eligibility remaining. It seemed inevitable that they would not run it back with those guys. It just didn't work out. I mean, it looked like 2 years ago, they were a team that surprised everybody. They were really solid. They won some games. They beat Colorado State on that buzzer beater by Grant Sherfield. And then heading into last year, like, okay, this is where this team makes that next step. It just never happened. They looked really bad from the jump. I mean, it wasn't something that, like, hey, they had a rough stretch. The rough stretch was the entire season. They never had a good stretch really throughout the season. They won like four or five straight in a couple in South Dakota, and then they came back. They got destroyed by Kansas, and then the Mountain West, it was just a complete disaster. So I think Jared Lucas could be solid, but he's not a point guard. He's a smaller two guard that can shoot the ball. Hunter McIntosh is going to be that point guard. But outside of Keenan Blackshear, this team's really going to be bad again defensively in my mind. Wilt Baker's not a good defender. He's not the fastest guy around. He's a little slow with his feet, but he can shoot the ball as a 7-footer. He can score the ball. He's just not good defensively, and that's going to be a bit of an issue when you're facing teams that can pull him out to the perimeter and score with him. So I think Nevada is going to struggle defensively. They might be pretty solid offensively with the guys that can shoot the ball. They should be a pretty solid 3-point shooting team, but I just don't think they're going to be able to win a ton of games because that defense is going to be bad.
Yep, that defense is going to be bad, and this team's rebounding is going to be bad once again. How about if we take a look at Air Force? In terms of rebounds per game, out of 358 D1 teams last year, they were, you guessed it, 358th. I mean, the fact that they wound up winning four games in conference last year, I actually think speaks a good of a job Joe Scott wound up doing. And I mean, that's not necessarily the ringing endorsement that you want here. But they wind up losing A.J. Walker, who had been their top scorer for many, many years. They do wind up bringing back someone like an Ethan Taylor. And Ethan Taylor, along with Jake Heidbreder, both of these guys were freshmen. They combined for about 19 points per game. You've got a little bit of upside there, but they've got absolutely nobody whatsoever that's able to rebound, really, other than Lucas Moorman, who's 6'10", and I believe he's listed as a guard. You really don't have any size on this team. Because it is Air Force, you're not going to be bringing in any transfers. This is a bunch that they struggle from three-point range. You know that they're going to make games grody, slow, things like this, but I just don't think that this team has the talent to really compete with darn near anyone in the Mountain West, to be honest.
Yeah, they don't, for sure. A.J. Walker can score it. But you look at Nick Jackson, Lucas Moorman, they split minutes at the five, but their five is the one who facilitates the offense most of the time because they're running that Princeton offense under Coach Scott. So I just don't think they'll be very good again. They're going to win some games playing their way, you know, the backdoor cuts, the three-point shooting. If they're able to hit those threes, they got to limit the turnovers a little bit. But it's tough to play that style in an offense in a conference that's so talented. I think that's going to be really what hurts them here. I mean, maybe in some conferences you can win that way, but Air Force also just doesn't have a ton of talent. So that's what it comes down to here.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Sean Pauly. He does a great job over there with the Mountain West Wire along the Field of 68. This team was dead last in the conference last season. I do think that they're going to be able to leap in front of Air Force. Question is, are they going to be able to leap in front of anyone else? And that'd be San Jose State. They want to bring in Tim Miles as their coach last offseason. And I do think that despite the fact that the team wound up having some struggles, you wound up seeing some signs of promise with this team as well. Now, things turns back out of the season. They wound up getting a little bit busted up because you wound up seeing a bunch of injuries. But at the very least, you know, I have a little bit of talent in with this team. They wound up bringing in some talented guys like a Max Allen. He's out here in lovely Las Vegas. Being able to get him is nice. And Brahima Diallo, he wound up being injured for much of the season. He's a true 7-footer. I believe that he began his career in the Big Ten. Trey Anderson is able to put up buckets as well. Once again, I'm not going to try to sell anyone that San Jose State is by any stretch of the imagination going to be able to compete for a conference title here or anything like that, but certainly they are not going to win just one game in the conference this year.
I'll give you this, though. In eight of Myron Amey Jr.'s last nine games, he scored in double digits. He had a few 20-point games. He had a 32-point game against a non-Division I opponent, and that was all as a freshman. He did not play much the first 8, 9, 10 games of the season, but he really figured it out, became a very important piece of that rotation. I mean, they almost beat Fresno State in the first round of the Mountain West tournament, Amy started that game, I believe, played 39 minutes, had 11 points. That was solid. It wasn't his best performance, but he really looks like a bright piece of their future. He shot 38% from outside on 85 attempts, 9.5 points per game. He's a guy to really watch this season, but Omari Moore is a clear star of the team. He was everything for that team. He was a point guard. He's a bigger point guard. He's athletic. He shot the ball really well last season. He had 4.6 assists, but he also turned it over almost four times per game. But he led them in literally every category. Like, if you go to ESPN and look at their team leaders for points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, there's only one guy that's pictured, and that's Omari Moore for literally all of them. So he had a pretty terrific season. Another guy I like and was impressed by when he was on the court was Alvaro Cardenas Torre. He has 6.5 points per game. He's another guy that can run the offense a little bit, and he can really shoot the basketball. So he's another guy I'd look out for next season. But San Jose State should be a little better, especially with Ibrahima Diallo when healthy, because he had 7.8 points and 7.2 rebounds per game. I think the Spartans will be pretty solid this season. They had a couple of pieces like Robert Viola from Fresno State, Sage Tolbert from Temple. I think they'll be all right.
Yep, I do think so as well. And if I'm looking at a team that finished towards the bottom of the Mountain West from last season, that they've got a chance to be able to take a few strides forward, that'd be New Mexico, because they wind up bringing back that backcourt of last season in Jabal Bashburn Jr. and Jalen House. Now, you need Numo to be a little bit more efficient, but with that said, this is a bunch that now they wind up getting a little bit more of something down low, as well as Maurice Odusi. He winds coming in from Wichita State. That should be able to help out one of their big bugaboos, and the fact that you really didn't have great rebounding whatsoever with the team, but Mashburn Jr. and House getting back to them. A combined 35 points per game out of those two gentlemen. KJ Jenkins is back as well. He's a nice little bit of a glue guy. He's able to give you 10 points. He's able to shoot in the mid-30s from three-point range as well. You can tell that when Jethro Muscadin wound up going down, very, very unfortunate car accident that wound up happening to him, was a little bit of a turning point to the season. So hopefully they are able to wind up being able to get up off the mat from that. But on top of that, Josiah Alec, UMKC transfer, he's 6'8". He's able to pop threes. He should be able to give the team a little bit of versatility as well. New Mexico, I think, is going to be a very intriguing team, and one that I think could wind up playing spoiler on this conference as well.
I think this is a top four team in the Mountain West. I mean, I've been banging that drum all offseason. I think this team is legitimately good. They were never out of games last season, it felt like. They played Colorado State tough. They almost beat Colorado State. They played a lot of teams really tough. And when you're playing in the pit down there in New Mexico, that's a tough place to play when that team is good. The fans are rocking. It's a tough place to play, and they have one of the best guard duos, I would say, in the country. Jalen House, he's really good defensively, and he really showed some offensive promise last year that he didn't show at Arizona State. Jamal Mashburn Jr., we all know about how good his father was, but he's a bit of a basketball player too. He's a great scorer, and he should have a good season this year. What it comes down to here for me is adding the big men that they added, like you touched on. You add Morris Udeze, they add Josiah Alec. Alec's probably going to play the four. Udeze's probably going to start at the five. That allows Jay Allen Tovar to come off the bench, Sebastian Forsling to come off the bench, and those were guys that were kind of forced into big minutes last year when Valdir Manuel was off the team before the season started, and then Jethro Muscadin had what happened to him, unfortunately, happen. Once those two things happened, they were forced into playing guys that just didn't seem ready for the roles that they had to play, but it was a necessity because you have to play somebody with size, and they played Jay Allen Tovar and Sebastian Forsling a ton of minutes, two guys that I think could be really good, but they just weren't ready for that kind of action yet. So I think this year, with a more experienced front court, with a team that's played together a little more, I think they could be this year's version of what Wyoming was. Last year, 2 years ago, Wyoming had a first-year head coach. They were competitive in a lot of games, but they didn't win a lot of games. What did they do the next year? Made the NCAA tournament. New Mexico, first-year head coach last year. They were in a lot of games and didn't win a lot of games. Will they make the NCAA tournament this year like Wyoming? I think it's possible. So I think New Mexico is going to be a very underrated team out there in the Mountain West.
New Mexico going to be in for a relatively solid year. I do think that they are going to be able to take some strides forward. And a man that is taking strides forward out in the industry in general, that'd be you, Sean. You're doing a great job over there at Mountain West Wire. And on top of that, I know that you do an amazing job over there at the Field of 68. I know you've got a lot of things going on this offseason. You're starting to do a great job with your previews as well. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you could toss a follow at SeanPaulCBB on Twitter. That's where you'll see most of my content. Just hit a follow there, and you'll figure out where everything else is just from there.
And Sean doing an amazing job taking a look at the game that we love in college basketball. Always great to get him on this podcast and delivered some great, great nuggets about the Mountain West today. A big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, the Mountain West Preview Edition. And coming up next, I do give you my projector or finish for the conference.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Was great to get Sean Paul. Does an amazing job over there at the Field of 68. On top of that, He does great work over there on Mountain West Wire. He does amazing work taking a look at the game of college basketball. And did a great job helping me take a look at all these teams. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you my projector of finish for the Mountain West. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, if there are any news and notes that wind up coming along from Monday that I wind up missing, those will be polished up on the podcast on Tuesday. But how about if we start with dead last in the conference? And honestly, this is the easiest pick in the conference. It's Air Force. This team, out of 358 D1 teams last season, was 358th in terms of rebounds per game. Can they wind up grinding out a win or two in conference? Because of their slow style, they wind up getting hot at the right time in a specific night. Sure they can, but it's not going to be a good season for this team, as you wound up having A.J. Taylor last year give the team right around 14.5 points per contest. Was really the heart and soul piece for them. He's now gone. They do have Jake Hebreder along with Ethan Taylor. These two guys have been able to average right around 19 points per game last season as freshmen. And you do have someone in Taylor who's able to give you 3.5 assists per game. But he's also the only guy that averaged more than 3.9 rebounds per game at 6'5". There's just a complete and utter lack of size. It's really tough to be able to rely upon someone like a Nick Jackson who gave you 8.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game at the forward spot. Overall, the team shot right around 33% from three-point range, and that was with A.J. Walker really being the main guy for this team. So, I take a look at Air Force. Going to be a very, very rough year for Joe Scott. And, I mean, the fact that they won 4 games in conference last season, I mean, that is pretty much a feat in and of itself. Dead last my projector finish, Air Force. You've got, at number 10, San Jose State, though. San Jose State going to be much better than they were last season. I know that MJ Amory is someone that we wound up talking about with our good friend Sean Paul and Amy. He wound up being able to average right around 15.5 points per game the final 9 games of the campaign, so he closed out strong, but you just see more than Amari Moore doing it all for the team because he led the team in points, assists, total rebounds, not rebounds per game because that'd be Abrima Diallo, the transfer that wound up coming in from Ohio State at 7.5 points, 7 rebounds per game, but was limited to about half the season last year, but with Moore also led the team in blocks. He wound up shooting 43% from 3-point range, so he did it all in a while. You do wind up having back in the fold Trey Anderson, and he was able to give the team 8.7 points per contest. He was able to do a very solid job from 3-point range. It's San Jose State. They've done a good job of being able to bring in a little bit of talent. And Tim Miles, just overall a good coach. The tide is starting to turn for San Jose State. Problem is, I just think that they're going to be a little bit short end this season. They're going to be a little bit better down low with Sage Tolbert coming in from Temple, someone that's able to give this team, in my opinion, right off the bat, 5+ rebounds per game. Robert Viola is going to be coming in from Fresno State as well. He should be able to give this team a little bit of size, but it's going to take a little bit of time for these pieces to wind up melding together, but I do think that they're on the right track. Number 10 in my projector finish, we go with San Jose State. At number 9, I'm going to be going with Nevada because I think that it's going to be a really rough year for Nevada. You wind up losing Desmond Cambridge. You wind up losing 7-footer Warren Washington. And you do wind up replacing those pieces with Gerard Lucas. And Lucas was able to put up double figures out in the Pac-12 last season, being able to give the team 13.5 points per contest for Oregon State. And a relatively solid 3-point shooter at 38.5% from distance. But I mean, with him giving the team 13.5 points and shooting 38.5% from 3, being an all-Pac-12 performer, Oregon State got 3 wins, including a loss on their home floor to UC Davis. They were absolutely terrible. Now, you wind up bringing in Hunter McIntosh. He should be able to up this backcourt a little bit. But if you're out there in the Mountain West and you're relying upon Hunter McIntosh being one of your main guards, you are in a bad state. As I mean, last year, well, you said Ebon, 13.5 points, 2.8 assists per contest. He shot right around 37.5% from 3, a perfectly fine guard out there in the Colonial. But this is the Mountain West that we're talking about, with Nevada taking a lot of losses, a team that in general didn't wind up doing a great job in terms of being able to grab rebounds. Will Baker was able to do a solid job last season, being versatile, being able to pop some threes. But mentioned by our good friend Sean Paul, the team played fast, but they played no defense whatsoever, and they really don't bring back cogs to wind up helping the team wind up playing too much defense. I think it's going to be a relatively rough year, and the shine, it is certainly coming off of Steve Alford right now. So number 9 in my projector finish, we go with Nevada. At number 8, going to be going Fresno State. The fact that you wind up losing a 7-footer in Orlando Robinson, who had 19.5 points, 8.5 boards, 3 assists, was able to pump in their threes at about a 35.5% clip, that's going to set you back. Now, Jamero Baker is really the question mark for this team. He averaged 8.5 points per contest while he was out there during the 2021-22 season, was limited to just 5 games last year. If he has a clean bill of health and if he's able to just winding up putting up the numbers that he did even at Arizona a few seasons ago with Baker while he was at Arizona, he was able to be a relatively solid player, putting up right around 5.5 points, 2.3 assists per contest. You got to figure that in the Mountain West, he has a chance to be a double-figure scorer. That would be absolutely massive for Fresno State, but with Fresno State, it is very much a team of mystery now down low as losing everything that they have in the offseason. This is a team that I just don't think that they're going to be able to do a good job of being able to grab some rebounds. Now, they still have a little bit in the backcourt as Jordan Campbell. He's able to do a solid job. 6'4" guard who I think is going to be able to give the team double figures this season. Destin Whitaker during the College Basketball Classic in which they were able to take down. He was able to show a little bit of a sign of promise. Eduardo Andre, he winds up coming in from Nebraska. That should be able to help them out a little bit. And Isaiah Moore is someone that I am intrigued by as well because Isaiah Moore at St. John's, coupled with a few seasons ago, Southern Miss as well, he was able to do a solid job for this team. Someone who is able to give you right around 6+ rebounds per game. So I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job for this team. But that said, I've got my question marks when it comes to Fresno State. You don't necessarily have two tremendous 3-point scorers with more. He has to wind up taking now a step up to the Mountain West level after he was at Conference USA last season, 2 seasons ago. He was out there in the Big East and did wind up putting up good numbers there. He's able to shoot 31% from 3, but just in the grand scheme of things in the Mountain West, I think it's going to be a little bit tough for them, especially with all their moving parts. So in my projector finish at number 8, I'm going to be going with Fresno State. At number 7 in my projector finish, I go with Utah State in this spot. Utah State, ironically enough, wound up finishing 7th last season, but I think that this is a team that could be very sneaky. Steven Ashworth was able to close out the year relatively solid last year. Last 14 games, wound up shooting 40% per 3 with right around 10.5 points per contest. RJ Attell Rock and Sean Bairstow, both of these guys were able to combine for right around 17 points per contest. Neither of these guys just completely shoot the cover off the ball, but at the same time, I think that you've got a pair of pretty capable scorers in this one. As Bairstow, he wound up shooting very bad from 3-point range. I think that he's going to be able to recover a little bit. And then Ryland Jones was able to give the team 6.5 points and 4.5 rebounds per contest and really struggled a little bit towards the back half of the season. I do think that he's going to be able to pick it up a little bit more because this is year number 2 of the Mr. Odom system, and I do think that year number 2 is where these guys are going to be able to take off. I do think that they have a very solid coach in Ryan Odom, but the question is, are these pieces going to be able to meld together? Taylor Funk, the Funk, he winds up coming over from St. Joe's, and he was able to put up some massive numbers his last 2 seasons while he was over there at St. Joe's, but his 3-point shooting was always very funky, shall we say, as you take a look at him throughout his career, he wound up shooting 39.5% for 3, and then 30%, 25%, and then 35% last year, 37.5% 3-point year with a little bit over 13 points, 6.5 boards per game. That gives the team some versatility, but just a loss of Justin Bean in general. It really winds up putting this team behind the 8-ball. They really don't have anyone that's able to come in, and he's able to be that guy that Justin Bean was able to, so just that loss and that loss alone is going to wind up hurting this team. Now, I do think that you've got a little bit of upside when it comes to this Utah State team and the fact that they haven't been able to do a good job of being able to scour the transfer portal. I mentioned Funk a little bit earlier, and then you also wind up bringing in Isaac Johnson. Did not play a lot at Oregon, but former 4-star recruit, a 7-footer. He should be able to come in, should be able to do some solid things. But I do think that with Utah State, still a little bit of a question mark as to how Ryland Jones is going to be able to run the point, and that has me a little bit tepid on this team. So at number 7 in my projector finish, going to be going with Utah State. At number 6, I go with New Mexico. The Lobos, I think, are still maybe a piece or two away, but to the point of Sean Paul, I can't get there with them being a top 4 team, but I can get there with them being more of a middle of the pack slash an upper echelon team in this conference because they do wind up bringing in Maurice Odizzi. He was able to be very solid while he was at Wichita State. Someone who wound up seeing his playing time wind up going a little bit up and down, but last season, 10 points, 6 boards as a starter for that program. Certainly not a guy that's going to wind up stretching the floor, but exactly what New Mexico needs, because you've got Jamal Mashburn Jr. and Jalen House. These guys provide all the scoring that you need. A combined 35 points per contest. House was able to give the team 4.5 assists per contest. From time to time, they will be a little bit inefficient, especially House. He wound up having 3.4 turnovers per contest, but KJ Jenkins, he's a guy that's able to shoot about 35% from three-point range. And really, all these guys, Mashburn, House, and Jenkins, these three guys were able to shoot it very well at the free throw line. House shot 89% of the free throw line. Jenkins nearly 90%, 78.5% out of Mashburn. And this is a team overall last season in New Mexico that was able to shoot 75% as a collective. They should be able to do a solid job at the charity stripe. Big thing is just what you're going to be able to get down low from this team. And Josiah Alec, I think that he's a little bit of an under-the-radar transfer. Someone who's a 6'8" combo player, was able to last season with the Kangaroos of UMKC, put up 13 points per contest, shot 36% from three-point range, 6 boards per contest. Problem with New Mexico is they just really couldn't guard a soul last season. If they can play any defense whatsoever under Rich Pitino, this could be a team that they wind up being able to finish in that top four. As of right now, I've got them number 6 in my projector or finish. At number 5, I'm going to be going with Boise State. Abu Kiab, along with Emmanuel Acott being out of the fold, is big, but they've got that bucket getter and Marcus Shaver. 13.5 points, right around 2 assists, a steal per contest, shot 35% from 3-point range. He was really the man while he was at Portland a few seasons ago. 2 years ago, he was averaging more around 10.5 points per game, shot 40% from 3-point range. He does need a little bit of someone out there in the backcourt to be able to take the edge off of him, so that is going to be a big TBD when it comes to Boise State, because when they had Emmanuel Acott out there on the floor, he was able to be a relatively solid shooter, and that despite the fact that he was 6'8", so he was able to do a nice job as a little bit of a combo player for the team. But Tyson Dagenhart, how big was his emergence? He was the Mountain West Rookie of the Year last season. Really didn't play much first couple games of the season, and it was a little bit hot and cold for him, but if you wind up taking out, shall we say, the games before Thanksgiving, so final 29 games of the season, it was more like 11.5 points, 4.5 boards per game, shooting 45% from three. As a 6'7", 230-pound big man, that is big, but Maladen Armouche, losing him, losing the 8 rebounds per game that he was able to provide, that is going to be tough for a team that they bring in a little bit of size, but Mohamed Siala not necessarily doing it for me. Trabuzo Igbo, he winds up coming in from Texas Tech as well. Someone who is a little bit touted, but neither of these guys, I don't think, are going to be able to do a good job of being able to fill that role. Now, with what Boise State has coming back and the fact that Leon Rice is a tremendous coach, they are still going to be competitive. You know that they're going to play smash mouth defense, but at the same time, I think that they are going to wind up taking a little bit of a setback this season with those losses. So as a result, Boise State, number 5 in my projector or finish. And number 4, this is one of the trickiest ones to take a look at, but I've got Colorado State. I mean, the fact that you lose David Roddy, your heart and soul piece, 19 points, 7.5 boards, 3 assists, shot 44% from 3, a tremendous dunker, 1.2 steals per game, a block per contest. He did it all for this Colorado State team. Now, with Colorado State, they do wind up bringing in Josiah Strong, and that should be able to help ease up a little bit, but at Illinois State last season, 6'3", 6'4", a little bit of a bruiser who actually began his career over with the Naval Academy. 11.5 points per contest, shot 41% from 3. That'll give the team some good scoring options, but you now have to rely upon Isaiah Stevens running the show, and Isaiah Stevens, one of the, I would say, top 6 point guards in all of college basketball returning this season. He is incredible. He's able to give you 14.5 points. He does a good job being able to dole out the ball, 4.7 assists, so 1.7 turnovers per contest. Shoots 38% from 3, 90% at the free throw line. That is a very good place to start. What else are you going to be able to get from this team, though? You do wind up having Patrick Cartier. He winds up coming in from Hillsdale College, and if you've never heard of Patrick Cartier or Hillsdale College, well, you should know about them a little bit, because I feel like this guy is going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to wreck some shop. We've already seen it with a couple guys that wind up coming up from the D2 level. We wind up seeing, as a matter of fact, someone from the D2 level last year in Chandler Jones be able to give this team some nice production, as last season he put up 24.3 points and 6.7 rebounds per game in the Midwest Regional of the D2 NCAA tournament. Overall for the season, he wound up putting up 22 points per contest and shot 44% from 3-point range with 6 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. Now, is he going to be able to duplicate those numbers? I don't think so, but he's a 6'8" combo player that is certainly going to be able to take the edge off and is going to be able to do very solid things for the team, and you do also wind up having John Tonjay back in the fold. But with John Tonjay, the big thing that you've got to note is that he had some of the more demonstrative shooting splits home to road last season, as this is a man that during the 2021-22 season, he wound up shooting at home 42% from three-point range in true road games, 23% from three-point range. So I do think that that's going to be a little bit of a hamperance. As a result, I've got Colorado State at number four in my projector of finish. And number three, we are going to be going with the Runnin' Rebels. UNLV basketball is back, and I think that there's a legitimate shot that this team winds up making the NCAA tournament. Elijah Parquet is going to be coming in from Colorado. Parquet was able to do a nice job out there in the backcourt, being able to give Colorado in the Pac-12, right in the neighborhood, about 7 points per contest, a very good defender. Someone who, from three-point range, shot right around 22% last season after he shot 42% the season before. I don't think he's as good as that 42%. I don't think that he's as bad as that 22%. I do think that he's going to find his equilibrium to the point of Sean Paul. And UNLV, I think, can legitimately be a top 20 defensive team in all of college basketball. The question is the offense, but I think that Elijah Harkless is going to be able to provide some offense because we wound up seeing it at Oklahoma last year. 10 points, 4 boards, shot right around 32.5% from 3-point range. He's a 6'3" guy that's able to guard pretty much anyone out there on the floor. Shane Noel is really the big X factor for this team. Did not wind up seeing any playing time whatsoever at Arizona, but a top 100 recruit for the class of 2021, Jackie Johnson III. He's able to help facilitate a little bit as a freshman over there at Duquesne. He was able to do very good things as he wound up putting up in his 1 year with the Dukes, right in the neighborhood of about 9.5 points per contest. But you do take a look at what he was able to do in the back half of the season, because that's where he really wound up seeing his playing time, and he was able to come on very strong as you take a look at it from, we're going to call it January 26th on, and he was able to average 10.5 points per contest. I do think that Jackie Johnson III can wind up coming in, be a solid player. Luis Rodriguez, someone who's a 6'6", a little bit of a combo player. He's able to give you 5-plus rebounds per game. That is going to be massive for a UNLV program that, under the Kruger regime, I think that they're actually going to be very, very good. It's a good basketball pedigree in general, because we wound up seeing what his father Lon was able to do for this team, and I think that he's going to be able to wind up building himself a nice future out here in lovely Las Vegas. And on top of that, Isaiah Cottrell, he's 6'10", he's going to do a very solid job of being able to guard the post as well. You wind up being able to bring back a few guys from last year. You did wind up seeing quite a bit of turnover, but Jordan McCabe is able to be a good pass for his guy David Buoka. He's able to give you multiple blocks in any given game as well. So I do take a look at this UNLV team, very impressed by them. Number three in my projector or finish. And number two, I'm going to be going with Wyoming. With Wyoming, they're going to be running it back, and they're going to be bringing in some nice pieces, as you do wind up bringing back Hunter Baldonado. Had a game to forget in the NCAA tournament where he wound up having, I believe it was 9 or 10 turnovers per game. I believe it was 9 or 10 turnovers in that game, but Hunter Maldonado, a certified bucket getter that is able to do a lot of things. And now with Ethan Anderson coming in from USC, even while he was at USC, was able to be a good facilitator. That is really going to be able to take some of the pressure off of Hunter Maldonado, and hopefully that allows him to not turn the ball over as much as Maldonado. 18.5 points, 6.5 assists, 5.5 rebounds per game, but those turnovers, he was towards the top 10 in the country in that regard. Jeremiah Odin was someone that was able to come in, was able to give the team some good minutes, 6'8", little bit of a combo player that was able to shoot relatively solid, right around 31-32% from three-point range. They're going to need him to step up because they did wind up losing a few ancillary pieces from last year, but Brandon Wenzel, he is back full, 6'7" guy that I really like for the team, 5.5 points per contest, was able to rein it in at a three-point shooting percentage, right around 38%, and then on top of that, you wind up bringing in Jake Hyman. He's a 6'7" combo player from UCLA that should be able to do some nice things for this team. Xavier Dussel was able to see some valuable minutes. And then on top of that, he did wind up having a little bit of a rough go of it to end the season. But Graham EK, 19.5 points, 9.5 point boards per contest, able to be a good rim protector. That is going to be solid. And I do think that Wyoming, when it's all said and done, they do wind up making the NCAA tournament for a second straight year. But number one in my projected order of finish, that would be San Diego State. And not only do I have San Diego State number one in my projector or finish, I think when it's all said and done, this team is able to crack the top 25 nationally. They just needed some help for Matt Bradley. Matt Bradley last year was the guy that had to do it all on offense. 17 points, 5.5 boards, 2.7 assists per game. While a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys, he still shot 40% from three-point range, and now reinforcements, they are on the way. As Micah Parrish, who was able to put up right around 11 to 12 points per contest, was able to do a nice job as a 6'5", little bit of a shifty guy over there at Oakland. He winds up coming into the fold after he wound up also being able to grab 6 boards per game, shot 35.5% from three-point range. But Darion Trammell, this guy was amazing at Seattle last season. A 2-time All-WAC performer, 17.5 points, 5 assists, 2.5 steals on 34.5% three-point shooting. This guy is going to be able to do an amazing job. He's back in his home state of California. And then on top of that, he wound up bringing back Nathan Menza, who was the Defensive Player of the Year last season in the Mountain West. Not going to put up flashy numbers, 7.7 rebounds per game, but he certainly is a very capable player for this team. You also wind up having someone like a Lamont Butler, who was able to do a very solid job for this team. He was an All-Mountain West Defensive Player as well. So him being able to generate a few steals, San Diego State having that defensive identity, and being able to bring in a little bit of offensive help for Matt Bradley, that is going to have this team very dangerous. I've got them number one in my projector or finish it. For that matter, I've got them as a top 25 team nationally, and that will wrap things up for my Mountain West preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. You're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast during the offseason. Conference previews, along with all the news and notes that we're seeing in college basketball, to get you guys set for an amazing season. And then once we get into the season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.